Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Crossover Wednesday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'll be joined today by your boy Q from the Locked On Raiders podcast to discuss what is an absolute must win for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They haven't played winning football in 3 weeks. They've lost two straight, and they can't afford another one. They're just a half game up in the AFC North at this point. They've got really difficult games coming up against the New England Patriots, who have been their nemesis for so long. Then they have to go to New Orleans, one of the hottest teams in football. This team cannot afford stupid losses, the kinds that they've had the past couple weeks. If they do lose this football game, we're going to start talking about this team and whether or not they're going to make the playoffs, because they're going to be in all likelihood behind in the AFC North. So we're going to talk about that today. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Serino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts. Search Locked On Steelers, hit that subscribe button, and you will get your daily dose. You can follow us on Facebook, search Locked On Steelers, hit the like button, or you can join the Facebook group. You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country, and you can now find us on Instagram at Locked On Steelers. All right, and let's get right into it. My discussion with your boy Q from Locked On Raiders.
Joining me now on the phone lines to talk a little Steelers and Raiders is Tony Serino, host from Locked On Steelers at Steelers Country on Twitter. And Tony, I appreciate you being on the Locked On Raiders podcast, the crossover edition. Always excited about these. I know a lot of fans enjoy these editions. First thing first, I know it's been a really weird season. Maybe not weird. Maybe that's not the right word, but the Steelers have been in the news a lot. I mean, if you look at Lev Bell, James Conner, Big Ben calling out wide receivers on the team. I mean, that's just to name a few. How would you describe 2018 as far as the Steelers go?
Yeah, no, weird is the right word. Weird is 100%. It's the word I've been using all week, really for the past 2 weeks, to describe the two football games they've played against the Broncos and most recently against the Chargers. But you said it, right? The year starts with Le'Veon Bell holding out, and then James Conner has this kind of breakout year. Now he's injured. The Steelers are in this funk right now. It started in Jacksonville 3 weeks ago. They played well enough to win in Denver, minus four really unfortunate turnovers in some strange spots. And then they lose this game against the Chargers in another very strange football game. Obviously, it was poorly officiated. There were some weird calls in that game, but the Steelers just didn't do enough to win down the stretch. It has been a very weird year, and it's felt like this team has been, at times, the floor is going to fall from beneath them, and this is going to be, a really terrible season for the Steelers. And there were other times this year where it really felt like this team was about to enter into that title picture, and where they sit today is probably somewhere in the middle.
You mentioned James Conner, how he's done a good job filling in for Lev Bell, filling in as the full-time starter now, and I know he's banged up, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. But as far as Le'Veon Bell goes, what is the fan base feelings around Lev Bell and the fact that he was just a no-show for 2018 and on a team that's really, really good, and you would expect with Le'Veon Bell, this team can make a deep run?
Yeah, and I think there was optimism that without Le'Veon Bell, they could also make a run, right? When you saw James Conner putting up the kind of numbers he was in the middle of the season, and the Steelers went on that winning streak in the middle of the year, I think there was a lot of optimism that, it was a Le'Veon Who type situation in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of fallen off now. Certainly, the thing no one wants to say in Pittsburgh is, boy, wouldn't it be great if they had Le'Veon at this point with Conner being down with that injury. But yeah, I think Steeler fans are ready to move on from Le'Veon Bell. That situation had played out over 2 years. This goes all the way back to last year when he held out all of training camp and preseason. And then you go into this year, and there was some deception in the way that Le'Veon and his agent went about that holdout. It sounded like he was going to show up, and then he did not. And so that caused a lot of drama. Of course, the Steelers and the offensive line were not happy about the way Le'Veon went about that. I think a lot of Steeler fans are just happy to move on from Le'Veon Bell. Regardless of how this season turns out, I think the fan base is just kind of happy that the Le'Veon Bell situation is over.
And it's funny because now Le'Veon Bell is going to be a free agent. And look, the Raiders are going to have a lot of money in 2019. And we already know the kind of season the Raiders have had. And they're basically trying to build this team over from scratch. A lot of fans have hit me up and said, Q, we got to go after Le'Veon Bell. Got to get Le'Veon Bell in 2019. What would your suggestion be to Raider Nation that wants Le'Veon Bell as their running back in 2019?
Well, I think the asking price is first and foremost, right? Because here's a player in Le'Veon Bell who wants to be paid not just as a running back and the highest paid running back, but also as a wide receiver, right? And he's great out of the backfield as a receiver, but you got to look at the price tag you're going to be paying for Le'Veon Bell, the wear and tear that he's already had. Now, he did save himself from playing at all in 2018, but you're also getting a player who's taken a year off, right? He's had 400 plus touches for the past 2 years or 3 years in his career. I think for for me, I'm sitting here today. I'm kind of glad the Steelers didn't offer him a bigger contract, a one that he would have signed, because it just feels like the percentage of cap that you're using on a running back, and you look at what James Conner's done this year. Certainly, James Conner is not Le'Veon Bell, but he's not far away. And you look at James Conner making $800,000 and Le'Veon Bell wanting to make $14, $15. I don't know how much he's going to make. $16 million next year. Who knows what some team is going to pay Le'Veon Bell, but that's what he wants. And so if you're looking at a player who's going to be, what is it, 27, 28 years old going into next year, you know, running backs, when they fall off, it's not a slow slide. You know, it just kind of ends overnight, and you worry with Le'Veon Bell. When is the clock going to strike midnight on him, like it does to all running backs? And are you going to be in the middle of paying this guy $14, $15 million a year when it does?
Yeah, see, and that's been a lot of my concern, because I know what kind of talent he is. I mean, the guy's a really, really good talent. Obviously, he can do anything. He can run the ball and catch the ball. I mean, he's a monster on the field. My other issue that I have is it going to be Le'Veon Bell? Once you get him, he's going to be the guy. He's going to go all in and give you that Le'Veon Bell, I want to get paid kind of effort? Or is he going to say, hey, I'm that free agent who just got a big fat paycheck, and now I'm not really worried about anything else?
Yeah, that's a real question with Le'Veon, isn't it? Because, you know, he didn't play at all in 2018 in a year where the Steelers could have been title contenders. You said it yourself. Boy, what would have happened in 2018 for the Steelers if he had played? And he was scheduled to make $14.5 million in 2018, but he chose to get paid in 2019 over competing for a title in 2018. And so I think your question is exactly right. You know, what is Le'Veon's motivation when he's on the football field? If he gets his contract, what kind of Le'Veon Bell are you seeing on the football field? I think it's certainly a valid question.
Yeah, that's my biggest concern as far as that moving forward. Now this game on Sunday, and James Conner talking about him, he's done a heck of a job being that full-time, that bell cow, that guy. He's basically filled in for Le'Veon Bell and done a heck of a job, but wear and tear on his body as of late, had the concussion, got over that pretty quick. Now he's got the ankle, and it's kind of strange to me that Mike Tomlin ruled him out already, so I figure, hey, this is kind of a serious injury. How serious do you feel this injury is to Conner? Is it just one of those, we got to make sure he's good for the stretch, and we think we can get by the Raiders without him? Or do you think this is something that's going to linger long term?
I think it's probably something that's going to linger. It sounded when Tomlin talked on Tuesday about the injury that it was way more significant than the Steelers had initially thought. And so, yeah, you're right. You know, the fact that he's been ruled out already means that I think it's unlikely he plays against the Patriots. And then, you know, you talk about the Saints game, and I think the next time we can probably safely say we're going to see James Conner is near the end of this season and into that playoff run if the Steelers get there. Remember, they're just a half game up in the AFC North now over the Baltimore Ravens. So, yeah, you know, Conner's not going to play in this game. I don't think he plays against New England either, and I think he becomes a question of whether he plays against the Saints or the Bengals at the end of the year.
So moving forward, how does that affect the offense, especially the next couple weeks?
Well, this is an interesting question in Pittsburgh right now because it continues to be brought up, the run-pass ratio. The Steelers have gotten away from the run the last 3 weeks and really haven't played winning football in the last 3 weeks. And so a lot of Steeler fans want to see the Steelers get back to that kind of ground-and-pound football that they've been known for historically. Without James Conner, I think you're going to continue to see Ben Roethlisberger throwing the ball 40, 45, 50 times a game. Certainly going to happen this week against the Oakland Raiders. The backup running backs the Steelers have are Jalen Samuels and Stephen Ridley. They activated Trey Edmonds off of the practice squad. But, you know, those guys aren't going to see 25, 30 carries in a game. They're going to go running back by committee, but they're going to throw the ball. You're going to see a lot of Antonio Brown in this game. You're going to see a lot of Juju Smith-Schuster. If Ryan Switzer gets out of the concussion protocol, which is the expectation, you're going to see a lot of him. And then the rookie James Washington. I think you're also going to see a lot of Vance McDonald in this game as well. He's been terrific for the Steelers as a tight end. So you're going to see Ben Roethlisberger and all his weapons. I think, you know, don't expect to see none of Jalen Samuels or Stephen Ridley. Those guys will be used a lot in the passing game as well. Samuels is very good out of the backfield. Has been very good out of the backfield. Ridley throughout his entire career has been terrific there. So you're going to see the Steelers throwing the football a lot, but they'll utilize the running backs there in the passing game as well.
You mentioned earlier about the concern with the Steelers and the way that they won. They lost to the Chargers after being up like 16 points, and then they left a lot of points on the field against the Denver Broncos, and they took an L there. How concerned are you with the fact that they are doing that? It's starting to become a tendency that they're having over the past few weeks.
It really is, and it's a concern not just in the fact that they've lost their past two games, but it's a concern in the fact that if this is a team that's going to make a run in the playoffs, in the modern NFL, where teams are scoring in the 30s and 40s with regularity, and especially in those big matchups when you see two of the top teams play in the NFL, right? You saw the Chiefs and Rams play a game 55-52. You saw the Patriots and Chiefs playing 43-40. You can't leave points on the field in those games because you have to be putting up in the 30s, 40s, even 50s to win these games. And so it's not just a concern in these two losses and going forward, but it's a concern as to whether or not this team can consistently put up big points in playoff games against New England, against Kansas City, and probably a rematch against the LA Chargers.
Tony, let me ask you this, man. How funny is it that we've been talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers for almost 12 minutes now, and we have not mentioned the defense yet? And you're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers, where historically we talk about defense, but it just seems like that's not the case anymore as of the past couple seasons.
No, it really isn't. And you know, this has been a kind of, well, going back to last year, right? The Ryan Shazier injury, beyond that, it really did change the complexion of that Steeler defense. You saw glimpses of what we're seeing today with the Steeler defense a year ago, right, where teams were able to throw with consistency on them. But it kind of, the floodgates opened against Blake Bortles and the Jacksonville Jaguars last year, and then you saw Patrick Mahomes do the same thing. It's not the steel curtain, although they're very good at rushing the passer, and they've been good over the past couple weeks, even in these losses, at getting to the quarterback, creating pressure on the quarterback. They haven't turned that into turnovers just yet, but there's certainly a lot of holes to be exploited, and I think you're seeing some of the better teams they're facing now exploit those. The Chargers did that. The Steelers like to match up linebackers against wide receivers, and the Chargers took full advantage of that with a guy like Keenan Allen. I'm really interested in this game against the Raiders. You know, the Raiders' leading receiver is Jared Cook right now.
Right.
You know, the Steelers have not been tested with I hesitate to call Jared Cook a premier tight end, but he's certainly been very good in 2018, or the only real weapon in that passing game for the Raiders in 2018. I'm interested to see how the Steelers match up against Jared Cook, and I'm interested to get your thoughts on Jared Cook and what you've seen from him throughout the 2018 season.
You know, you hit it on the head. You said basically the Raiders' only weapon. After the fact that they traded away Amari Cooper and, you know, Jordy Nelson, he's been hit or miss. He did have a good game last week against the Chiefs in a loss. But, I mean, he's been hit or miss throughout the season, and Martavis Bryant has been injured. So, really, it has been the Jared Cook show ever since the first game of the season. You know, against the Rams, he really came out and had a heck of a game. And he's one of the few guys that have been really a bright spot for this Raiders team, and really feels like him and Derek Carr have a good rapport with each other. I mean, it started last year, but this year he really looks like it's taken off. You mentioned he's leading the team in catches and receiving yards, and behind him is a running back in Jalen Richard. So, you know what I mean? Like, that's not ideal, but he is out there and he's really getting after it. And I mean, he's one of the fan favorites right now of all the Raider Nation, excited by what he's doing. He gets fired up. He gets angry. There's times he almost looks like he's fighting his own guys on the sideline, but he just kind of has that edge to him where he's going to go out there and leave it all on the field. So if the Steelers have a matchup problem or struggle to slow down the tight end, and regardless if he's not, you know, an elite Gronkowski type of tight end or a Jimmy Graham tight end in his prime or one of those kind of guys, he's really stinking good. And I mean, he'll go and get the yards after the catch. That's what really impresses me. Not only does he make the catch, but he gets a lot of yards after it. He'll put the hand in someone's face mask just to throw him down and get a few extra yards. So I really like what I see from Jared Cook. He's a free agent at the end of the year, so I'm hoping that the Raiders bring him back in 2019. He's a bright spot in a season that hasn't had too many bright spots.
Yeah, and then the other guy I want to talk about is Jordy Nelson. Let me stay on Jared Cook for a second, because the reason I bring him up is because not only do the Steelers, I feel like the Steelers have a problem covering tight ends. It hasn't been exploited just yet, but there's a lot of things on this Steeler defense that haven't been exploited yet. But the Steelers play the Patriots the week following here. They are going to face Rob Gronkowski. And like you said, Jared Cook isn't Rob Gronkowski. But I'd like to see this team be tested at the tight end position before that game, before they just go out and get roasted by Rob Gronkowski, which has been what's happened to the Steelers in the past. Now Jordy Nelson is healthy again. How did he look last week in his return against the Chiefs?
You know, he looked really good, and it was surprising because there's only, like, I can think one a game earlier this season. I believe it was against Denver where he had a breakout game, and that was it. You know, Jordy Nelson has really been a disappointment. Not really his fault. He just hasn't had a whole lot to work with in 2018. You know, it's just been one of those seasons, and like you mentioned, he was banged up. There was speculation for a while that he was going to retire midseason, but that didn't happen. He just, he battled back from a little bit of a knee injury, and he did. He looked really, really good. He showed why he could be a guy that would be a quarterback favorite just because the way he runs the routes, and just like he was running a couple sideline routes, he left enough space on the sideline where Derek Carr could fit the ball in between him and the sideline and not be out of bounds. You know what I mean? He ran a very disciplined route. So I can see why quarterbacks, I can see why Aaron Rodgers loved him when he was in Green Bay. He makes a lot of sense. You know, he's very sure-handed. He's going to make the catch, and then he's going to worry about the yards afterwards. And so he was solid. He was solid as it gets against the Chiefs, but we haven't seen it very often. It's only happened a couple times this season. Even the week before that, before the Chiefs, it was the Baltimore Ravens. He only had one pass thrown his way, and he didn't catch it. So it was like, you know what I mean? So it's like very hit or miss. It's like one week, oh, hey, you're a favorite target. The next week, not so much, or vice versa, whatever. It just doesn't matter. And so he's been just inconsistent. And again, I don't think it's all his fault. I think it's just a system, a product of what's been going on in Oakland all season long, where these guys are trying to fill out John Gruden's system and trying to figure out exactly who they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to be doing. And that goes with Derek Carr as well. I think he's getting a little bit more comfortable in the system. Hasn't thrown an interception in like 7 games. That's pretty awesome.
Wow.
You know, so that's something. I mean, he looks like he's getting more comfortable, and I hate to say it, but he's starting to look more like the 2016 Derek Carr instead of the 2017 and what we saw early in this season.
Hey, before we continue, I want to let you guys know about MyBookie. Whether you're an expert or rookie, you should be betting at MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little but win a lot, you should try putting together a big parlay on MyBookie. You pick 3 teams to win. If you hit all 3, you could turn $100 into $600. And right now, there's so much to bet on. It doesn't all have to be NFL. You can go cross sports. College basketball season's underway. The NBA is underway. NHL, same thing. You've still got NFL and then the college football bowl season right around the corner. They've even got esports, custom props, you name it. MyBookie has it. MyBookie is the one bet I know you'll be happy with all year. I know I have. I've loved MyBookie, using them all year. If you sign up this week, MyBookie is going to give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. It's a great way to bank even more money when you win. Make sure you follow them at MyBookie on Twitter. They personally respond to every mention and DM. Not to mention they've given away more than $10,000 in free money to their followers this football season. You'll be the first to know as soon as new odds and props are posted. So don't miss out on one of the best weeks to bet on sports this year. Log on to MyBookie right now. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get 50% deposit bonus. That's promo code locked on. You play, you win, you get paid. Yeah, what are your thoughts on Derek Carr so far? There's this tier of quarterback in the league where they're just good enough to win you games, but you know they're never going to get you to a championship. To me, Derek Carr's right. Always felt like that kind of quarterback. Should the Chargers be looking in 2019 at changing quarterback? Is Derek Carr the quarterback of the future there?
Well, that's funny that you asked that, because that's been a debate that we've had. We've had it on the podcast for a few weeks now, just because you just don't know. We know that the Raiders are in a rebuild mode, and you just didn't know if John Gruden loved Derek Carr and wanted him to be that franchise quarterback. And I think the fan base is really split. I think they are. There's a group of the fans that think, well, Derek Carr is good. He puts up a lot of stats. He puts up a lot of numbers. He just passed Rich Gannon for second all-time on the Raiders, all-time passing list and everything. And that's great, because that was the last really stinking good Raider quarterback before Derek Carr. And then there's some that say, yeah, but look at his win losses. Look what, he hasn't won the big games. He had one great season in 2016, and that was, he was potentially in the MVP conversation, and then he broke his leg at the end of the season. And, well, a lot of folks, including myself, said, well, he just has never been the same since then. But if he can round into shape, if he can continue to do what he's doing at the end of this year, the past, 5, 6, 7 games, like I mentioned, if he looks like he's picking up this offense the way he is, I think that he can go far. I think that Derek Carr could take this team and take them far. But the question is, can he continue to get better and improve? He's had like 5 or 6 different offensive systems since he's been in the league, and that's not fair. I mean, the guy's only been in the league for 5 years, but he keeps having to change offensive coordinators and offensive schemes and everything. So he's trying to learn. If he can continue to learn and continue to get better and grow, yeah, absolutely, he could be the guy. And I've always told everyone on the podcast, I tell them all the time, it's in the Raiders' best interest for Derek Carr to be your franchise quarterback moving forward. You don't want to have to start this process over. You might have to, but you don't want to. So ideally, in a perfect world, Derek Carr is the guy moving forward. And in 2020, when that Vegas stadium opens up, he's there to be the franchise guy.
And then the last question I have for you is about the running game in Oakland. The Steelers have had some problems defending the run the past couple weeks. The young guy Jackson on the Chargers really ate him up in the second half. Eckler, or not Eckler, Philip Lindsay against the Broncos. Just had a monster performance there. That kid is amazing. What's happening with the Raiders in their running game? They start the year with Marshawn Lynch. He goes down. Now they've got Doug Martin. Two players that I think a lot of people didn't even realize were still in the league. How is the Raiders running game looking so far?
You know, it was disappointing when Marshawn went down because that was a guy that all the Raider fans really rallied around. I mean, how do you not rally around beast mode? I mean, just all the stories of him running so hard and angry, that's just fun. It's fun to watch. Well, he went down. We don't know as fans if he's going to even come back in this season at all. He's on IR right now. And who knows, might have seen the last of Marshawn Lynch. May never see him again in a Raider jersey. But what I will say is Doug Martin, a guy that I really dogged at the beginning of the season and did not have any idea why he was on the team. I thought he was old and washed up from everything we saw in his final days in Tampa Bay. He's been a pleasant surprise. I mean, he really has. He stepped up and filled that role that Marshawn left when he went on to IR, and he's been running hard. He's been running with a purpose. He's been getting some good yardage. Him and Jalen Richard have really done some good things, and then you get Jalen Richard, he's actually catching the ball out of the backfield as well, and he's the second leading receiver on the team. So that tells you all you really need to know. Kind of has that old-school Charlie Garner-type feel where he could run and he can catch the ball like Charlie Garner did for John Gruden back in the day when he was the Raiders coach the first time. So I like what they've been doing. They put up 171 yards rushing against the Chiefs last week, so I was pretty impressed by that. Early in the season, they were struggling to run. My biggest problem with the run game is really the offensive line is struggling. It's really struggling to one, protect Derek Carr, and it's struggling to also open up big holes. I mean, it really is. And that's a shame because the Raiders' offensive line used to be one of the better ones in the league. I mean, it was right up there with the Cowboys and all the other real good offensive lines in the league. But Tom Cable, offensive line killer, he comes in, he gets hired by Gruden, and he changes the scheme to that damn zone blocking scheme. And for some reason, I don't know why people continue to try to do that in Oakland. It never, ever, ever works. It doesn't matter who you are or what genius you think you are. That zone blocking scheme never works. And so guys that were great offensive linemen in that power blocking scheme don't really fit that scheme. Kelechi Osemele, one of the meanest, nastiest guards in the league, had to lose 25 pounds before the season even started just so he could try to fit into that zone blocking scheme. And that's a high-priced free agent. Like, you don't make him change who he is. He's who he is for a reason. You know what I mean? You play to his strengths. You don't make him play to your what you want to do, your preference. So that's been a struggle as well. But the last couple of weeks, it looks like it's gotten a little better as far as the run game goes. But the pass game is still a struggle. The pass blocking is oh, man, it's bad. Derek Carr has been sacked like 39 times all season. It's a rough deal for DC.
Yeah, well, I'm as a Steelers fan, I'm happy to hear that because the Steelers' pass rush has been up to par the last couple weeks, and they haven't finished as much. But hopefully this can be an advantageous matchup for them. And then, you know, again, I was shocked to see Doug Martin is averaging 4 yards a carry, and so I'm not surprised to hear you say he's playing well. But it's interesting that Doug Martin's having kind of a career resurgence in Oakland. You want to get out of here with some predictions?
Yeah, sure, that'll work. I'm kind of scared to do these predictions, but I was scared. I was really scared last week to go up against the Chiefs.
yeah, right.
All right, well, what are you thinking?
Oh yeah, no, I think. Look, this is an interesting matchup for the Steelers. That they have lost two straight. They didn't play well against Jacksonville, but they got away with one. So that one felt like a loss. You know, things are going poorly in Pittsburgh right now. This should be the get healthy type of game. They're going up against a Raider team that only has two wins. They should be able to go to Oakland and get an easy win. But you know, weird things happen when the Steelers go to Oakland, and I don't think this is going to be any different. I think this game probably closer than people expect. My hope is that the Steelers can pull away in the second half. I'm going to predict a close one. I'm going to say the Steelers win 23-20 in a game that is far too close for comfort.
I'll tell you right now, if the Raiders defense holds the Steelers to 23 points, I'll do a backflip. You know what I'm saying? I'll be super excited because, look, they played the Chiefs tough, but they gave up 40 points to the Chiefs and over 400 yards of offense. So I think Big Ben, A.B., Juju Smith-Schuster, I think those guys, I think they're all going to be able to go ahead and get off and have good days. I think it's going to come down to basically a shootout. You know, who has the ball at the end, especially if Derek Carr is playing at the level he's been playing the last few games and Jared Cook is finding his way and the run game gets going. Obviously, you're going to have to get the ball out of Derek Carr's hands really quickly because, you know, you got a guy like T.J. Watt coming off, and he's looking good, and all the other guys that are getting after the quarterback as far as the Steelers go. So I think it's going to be close. Let me ask you this before I give you my prediction. Did I read that correctly that Big Ben has never beat the Raiders on the road? Is that correct?
From my recollection, that is correct. Yeah. I mean, I don't know the stat, but in thinking back, Every time the Steelers play the Raiders in Oakland, it is bad things happen. Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. And the teams that beat them were teams that are like 4-12 and 2-14. You know what I mean? Like the bad teams. The teams don't have any business. Okay. All right. So with that being said, I'm going to say that the Raiders are going to play the Steelers really, really close, just like they played the Chiefs really close. But they're going to find a way to get that W at the end. I think they're going to win by three, but I think it's going to be like 37-34. I think it's going to be a shootout. Yeah. I don't think there's going to be any defense played. As far as Oakland goes, there ain't going to be no defense played. So I think that they're going to find a way to get it done just because they have that history with Big Ben.
Yeah. No, listen, it's not going to surprise me if Oakland wins this game at all. Like you said, Ben's never won in Oakland. Weird things happen. My biggest worry in this game is the Steelers have turned the ball over with regularity in the past couple weeks, and that's kept the games that they've been in very close, closer than they should have been. If Ben's turning the ball over in this one, if you got some weird fumbles here and there, the Steeler defense is not good at creating turnovers, and they've only had one turnover in the past 3 weeks. That was on the last play against Blake Bortles. That was kind of a meaningless play. And so, you know, turnovers can be a real difference maker when you have a game like this. And that's my fear going into Oakland. But, not going to be surprised if Oakland wins this game.
This sounds like an exciting game. I mean, it really does. On paper, you say Steelers and you see the Raiders and you're like, oh, I look at the records and, yeah, it's going to be a W. But this sounds like it's going to be a fun, exciting game. So I'm looking forward to it, man. And this has been really a fun crossover interview, man. I really had a good time with this one.
Yeah, same to you, man. This is fun. And like you said, I think for Steeler fans, they want to go in this game and it should be a fun fest, right? The Steelers should blow out the Raiders. But like you said, this is going to be a close, interesting matchup for Raider fans and maybe for any bystanders out there who are watching it. Steeler fans, get ready for a game you're not going to enjoy.
No doubt about it. Tony Serino right there. Hey, tell everybody where they can find you, man. Tell them where they can find your work.
Yeah, head on over to LockedOnSteelers.com. You can find the podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. That is pretty much the extent of my work.
That'll work. Great stuff right there, man. It's always good to take a peek behind the curtain and see what the next opponent on the schedule's got going on. And like I said at the very beginning of this, man, I enjoy these crossover editions, and I really enjoyed this one, man. Tony, thank you so much for your time, my man.
Yeah, great talking to you. All right, and that'll do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.